Well, good morning. Welcome again to Bridgewater. My name is David, and I serve as one of the pastors here. So glad that you joined us here today. Quick reminder before we get into the message, if you are a member, please don't forget to vote this morning. We have been seeking God as a church in this time of transition, and today is your opportunity as members to vote on Kevin Stiles as the next campus pastor for here in Halsted. Kevin and Karis were here with us last week. He was candidating, he preached, and then they were with us the 2 weeks before that also, able to just interact with you, get to know you. We do have a bio about them available at the Welcome Center. They've had opportunities to interact with our leadership team here at the campus, the transition team, our pastors, our staff, and our overseers, and all of those groups have been excited about the potential of working with Kevin, working with Karis. And I want to say from my seat, as weird as it is to help hire your boss, I will say I'm very excited about the potential of working with Kevin. So again, members, please make sure that you vote this morning before you leave. Today we're continuing our series called Forgiven. We're talking all about forgiveness, what it is, why it matters, how it sets us free. Because at some point in your life, you are going to have people wrong you, and to have any hope of moving forward with any kind of health, with any kind of happiness in the relationship, forgiveness is going to be necessary. If you've ever driven somewhere new, you know the importance of good directions. Some of you in here like to use a paper map. Those things still exist out there, apparently. Others of you would be like, what do I do with this thing? And how do I fold it back up? That's always the bigger question to me, actually. You never can actually fold it back to how it was. They had some like multi-step process to get it back, and it was impossible. But anyway, some of us wouldn't know what to do with it because we're just use our phone. When people start to give me directions somewhere, I ask for the address, and I put it in my phone, and then I try to politely listen to their directions, knowing that I'm going to do exactly what my phone tells me to do. You can call me rude, you can call me a lazy millennial, that's fine. I just know that I have technology that knows how to get there, and I'm going to forget their directions either way. One thing that's important in directions is getting the order right. If you think it's left and then right, but it's right and then left, you're not going to end up where you hope to be, right? You have to get the order right to end up at your destination. And here's where this ties into what we're talking about this morning. When it comes to forgiveness and when it comes to healing and when it comes to peace, there is an order that matters. And I think we often get it messed up. Here's what I mean. It seems to me that when we've been wronged by someone, many people think that if we can just get to a place of healing, if we can just get to a place of wholeness, if we can just get to a place of peace, then we will be able to forgive. But the Bible actually teaches that that's backwards, that we've got it all messed up. If we ever want to get to a place of healing, wholeness, and peace again after being wrong, it actually starts with forgiveness. That's where we begin. And so I want to show you this from God's word. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. It's the same verses we were in last week, but we're going to look at those and some surrounding verses. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you a copy of that at the Welcome Center for free. We'll also have it here on the screen behind me. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. That's where we'll be. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So we talked last week from verses 12 and 13 about how forgiveness is a decision to cancel a debt. We talked about some of those misconceptions that we have of forgiveness, those ways that we get it wrong, and how the Word of God actually helps us in those. God commands us to forgive. It's not a good idea or an option among many. It's actually a commandment for every follower of Jesus. In verse 12, Paul tells us to be people who are full of tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, patience. I think all of us want more of those things in our life, don't we? I mean, who wouldn't like to be more patient? Who wouldn't like a little bit more kindness in their heart towards those who have wronged them? I think we all want these kind of things in our life. And Paul is saying that each of these actually are connected to forgiveness. We're not going to be people of mercy if we don't forgive others. Maybe that one's kind of obvious. We're not going to be people of patience if we are demanding that people pay back the wrongs that they've done against us. We're not going to be people of kindness if we fail to forgive others and become consumed in bitterness. I think we all want these things in our life. And again, Paul is connecting them to forgiveness. In verse 14, Paul says to be people who are filled with love, which leads to harmony. Who doesn't want harmony in their relationships? Who wouldn't like a little bit more love for those around them? And again, Paul is connecting these things to forgiveness. So often families, friendships, marriages, they can be ruined by strife and turmoil. And we wonder why we can't just get along. Why can't our relationships be full of life and fun and joy? Why are they so hard all the time? Why are they so draining? It's because often we have failed to forgive. Because love and harmony, it demands that we forgive those who have wronged us. In verse 15, Paul says to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, who doesn't want more peace in their life? Who's saying, you know what? I'd like more strife, more turmoil. I'd like to argue more with my family members. Like, who's saying that? Nobody. We all want peace in our life and peace in our relationships. It comes from forgiving others when they wrong us. Peace will not be the result of trying to get even. Peace will never be the result of demanding repayment. All of those things, they only lead to this cycle of strife and pain. It never leads where we want. So here's what we're getting at this morning. We all want the product of forgiveness, but we must be willing to submit to the process of forgiveness. We all want the results of forgiving others, but are we willing to actually submit ourselves to what God says and forgive as we have been forgiven? It's the question that we've got to ask ourselves, and how we answer it will really determine where we go in our relationships. Peace, it comes from forgiveness. Harmony, love, kindness, gentleness, patience, all these things and more, they come from being people who forgive others. I think we all want others to treat us this way, don't we? I think we even expect it many times. We expect others to have mercy towards us. We expect others to be patient with us as we're trying to figure things out. And we can even get angry at them when they don't treat us that way. We expect it from them. And yet, when it comes our turn to be that person, it can be a little bit more difficult. We all want what forgiveness offers. You see, forgiveness isn't just a command from God. It's a gift from God. God, in his goodness, commands us to forgive because he knows it's actually the way to a better life. You see, every command in the Bible is actually God calling us towards life. It's God calling us towards peace. It's God calling us towards contentment because he knows how life is better. He knows what's going to lead us into those things. And so when he gives us these commands, it's from a heart of grace and goodness, calling us into something better. When we follow his example and we forgive, we actually have a better life, a life that has more joy and peace and fun, that's got better relationships. Jesus, in fact, said that we are blessed when we give mercy and when we make peace. Matthew chapter 5, he says this, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. Jesus says that we are blessed, or we're happy when we are merciful, when we make peace. And I think all of us want to be blessed. I think we want to be happy. And the way to get there isn't holding on to that pain. It's not trying to demand repayment. It's not trying to get even. It's canceling that debt, letting it go. Now, this doesn't mean that forgiveness is going to be easy. just because it leads to a better life doesn't make the process all kinds of fun and enjoyable. It will be difficult. In fact, it may be one of the most difficult decisions in your whole life. Forgiving others is one of the hardest things you will ever do, but it is also one of the best things you can ever do. I hope that as we talk about forgiveness in this series, it doesn't feel as if we're trying to tell you that your pain or your experience don't matter, that they aren't significant, that you should just kind of sweep it under the rug and let it go. That's not the kind of attitude we want to have. Your pain is real, and I don't want to talk about forgiveness lightly like you should just get over it. It's not our heart in this. Forgiveness is difficult, but it is so much better than the other option. Because the only other option is bitterness. And while bitterness might feel good for a moment, it only hurts us in the long run. Perhaps you've heard the saying that bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. There's certainly some truth in there, right? We only hurt ourselves when we hold on to that pain, when we hold on to that anger. We're only hurting ourselves. Bitterness is toxic, it's contagious, it's evil, and it is quite literally from the depths of the pits of hell. We give Satan a foothold in our lives when we choose bitterness, when we refuse to forgive. We're essentially inviting Satan to have a seat at the table, inviting him to have control over our lives. Lisa Turkhurst wrote a book that's called Forgiving What You Can't Forget. And in this book, she talks about her story of learning to forgive her husband. Her husband cheated on her, and she walks through the story of how she learned to, in fact, be able to forgive him. And she shares some really good truth in there. And we actually have some copies of this book available at the Welcome Center for a reduced price if you'd like to buy those. It's a really good resource if you're struggling with forgiveness, if you're struggling with being able to forgive someone. I would recommend you pick up a copy of this. You can also find it on Amazon or wherever you buy books. I'm sure that they have a copy of it. See, Lisa was somebody who had really good reasons to choose bitterness, really good human reasons to choose bitterness. But here's what she says in the book. Bitterness is a bad deal that makes big promises on the front end, but delivers nothing you really want on the back end. Bitterness, like all sin, it makes some big promises. It says that it's going to give you things. And I think the main promises of bitterness are justice, satisfaction, and fairness. It feels like holding on to that pain will teach them a lesson. Like it gives you some kind of control and power in a situation where you feel like you have absolutely none. Like holding on to that grudge is going to make you the judge who's meting out punishment, making things just, making things fair. Sometimes bitterness feels like the only way to make sure that you don't get treated that way again. It feels like the only way to justness and safety in a world that's gone bad. And some of you have tried following those directions. Bitterness, revenge, resentment, getting even, isolating yourself. Those are all routes that our flesh and the world tells us to take. And the problem with them is that they never lead us where we want to go. Maybe it feels good for a moment. It promises satisfaction and justice, but it comes up empty every single time. Bitterness only leads towards more pain, a smaller world, broken relationships, less joy, and it can lead you to some dark, dark places. You've never seen a happy person who is bitter. You've never seen a joyful person who was bitter, because bitterness is something that steals your joy. It robs you of life. Apparently Satan said, not today. That's what we should say to bitterness. Amen? When I was, some of you know a little bit of my story, but when I was in middle school, my father, he walked out on my family. He left my mom to parent me and my three older sisters all by herself, and she was working full-time night shift as a nurse, which is hard enough by itself, right? Like, that's a hard enough calling, let alone trying to raise four angsty teenagers, right? On top of that. Now, many of you don't know my mom, but my mom is my hero. And here's the reason why. In the middle of all of that, she refused to grow bitter. I think all of us would have given her a little bit of a pass if she did, right? Like, I think all of us could have understood someone in that situation being a little bit angry, having a hard time forgiving, but in the middle of unimaginable pain, she refused to grow bitter. She said, you know what? God has this. We are going to continue to pursue God. She was such an example to me and my sisters, and she continues to be one of the kindest servants of Jesus that I know. And I shudder to think what my life would look like today if she had chosen differently. How different would I be today if I'd spent my teen years surrounded by the toxicity of bitterness every single day? How different would my choices have been in high school and in college? What would my relationship with God look like? What would my family look like today? Today, all four of us kids are following Jesus, or married to people who love Jesus. And I wonder how different that story would have turned out had my mom chosen differently. You see, bitterness doesn't just destroy your life. It's so toxic and infectious that it can destroy the lives of those around you too. When you choose bitterness, you end up spewing out evil onto those around you, even those you love and would never want to intentionally hurt. You think you can just constrict that anger to that one person who wronged you, but there is always all kinds of collateral damage. When we choose bitterness, when we choose anger. Bitterness is a really bad deal. It makes big promises on the front end, but delivers nothing you really want on the back end. And so my challenge to you this morning, I would beg you not to believe the lies of bitterness. If you're done with that cycle of reliving that pain and giving them mental headspace and energy and thought, then it's time to forgive. You've let them take up too much of your peace. You've let them rule your life for too long, and it's time to get your life back. In our small group this week, we were talking about forgiveness and bitterness, and someone in the group mentioned a friend that they know that's living in that place. They're living in bitterness, and how they've noticed how much mental energy it takes for them to stay bitter. How this thing that was done wrong against them, how that seems to come up in almost every single conversation, how this one wrong has started to define their entire existence, how they are almost defined by their anger. That's where bitterness can take us. And unfortunately, I think all of us in here could probably name several people like that. It's easy to see in others. It's a little bit harder to spot in the mirror. When you choose bitterness, when you refuse to forgive, you end up getting hurt again and again by the same exact offense. But forgiveness sets you free from the cycle of repeated hurt caused by holding on to what they did to you. Forgiveness can actually set you free from that cycle of pain. Because when you refuse to forgive, you are essentially choosing to be hurt over and over again by that same offense because you're choosing to hold on to that pain of what they did. You're refusing to let go of that debt, and it ends up consuming you. But forgiveness can set you free from that cycle of hurt. It's still difficult to let go of. I'm not going to try and pretend like it's not, but it's so much better than holding on to it. It doesn't magically remove all the pain or all the consequences, but you can find a healing and a peace when you choose to forgive, when you choose to cancel that debt. I think what can be difficult about forgiveness is that even once we've made that decision, we might find ourselves later on wanting to hold on to that pain yet again. Like, you honestly decide to forgive, but that pain resurfaces and there's a part of you that this time wants to hold on to it, right? And so here's what we need to come back to in those moments. Forgiveness is making and keeping four promises. And we've adapted these four promises from Ken Sandy's book called Peacemaker, which is another great resource. And here's those four promises. I won't bring it up to you. I won't bring it up to others. I won't dwell on it. And I won't let this stand between us or hinder our relationship. Those are the four promises of forgiveness. When we forgive, we're committing ourselves to not bring up that offense to you, to others, to ourselves, or to let this get in between us. We're canceling the debt. canceling. It's not extending the loan. It's not giving a reduced interest rate. Canceled. It's gone. When we decide to forgive, it doesn't just magically remove the pain of what they did from our memories. And so when it comes back, we have to, in those moments, choose to keep these promises, to remember that we have decided to cancel this debt. So first, I won't bring it up to you. This means I won't throw this offense in your face in a future argument. I won't hold this against you. I will not use it as leverage in our relationship. The debt is canceled. It's gone. Secondly, I won't bring it up to others. I won't talk about this offense with my friends and complain about how terrible you are. I will not slander, gossip, complain, attack you behind your back. I am canceling this debt. It's gone. Now here, we do need to make an important distinction. This does not mean that you are not allowed to process pain with safe people. This does not mean that you are not allowed to report things to certain authorities. We talked a couple weeks ago about the unfortunate realities of abuse. And abuse isn't something that we can just forgive and move on. There's legal, serious consequences to something like that. And so forgiveness doesn't mean that we just sweep those under the rug and try and move on. We have to deal with those things. Like we talked about last week, forgiveness does not remove all consequences. Sometimes there's serious consequences. And so you can forgive someone and at the same time report them to the authorities. You can forgive someone at the same time, hold them accountable for their actions. Those two things are not divorced from each other. Forgiveness is promising not to bring it up to others unnecessarily without really good reason. And by the way, because it feels good is not a good reason. Third, I won't dwell on it. Forgiveness is promising not to dwell on this offense. Anytime it comes to mind, instead of dwelling on it, instead of letting that anger consume you, we remember that we have already chosen to cancel this debt. It is gone. And some days, we're going to have to come back to that promise again and again and again and again because it keeps coming up and it keeps hurting and it keeps being painful. We have to keep coming back to this promise. I will not dwell on this. The debt is gone. And then finally, I won't let this stand between us or hinder our relationship. Forgiveness is making sure that this debt does not get between the two of you. Now, as we talked about last week, forgiveness is not the same thing as reconciliation. And so forgiveness doesn't mean that everything's just going to go immediately back to how it was before. Their continual sin, or maybe the consequences of that sin, might be something that does get in between you. But when you choose to forgive, you are saying this offense is not going to be the thing that's in between us. I am not going to let this stand between us anymore. Yes, you wronged me, but I forgive you. The debt is canceled. When we choose to keep these promises, we turn that cycle of repeated hurt into a cycle of repeated peace. Instead of reliving the pain each time, we can turn it over to God through forgiveness and let him give us his peace. And over time, as we submit to God's process of forgiveness, we will find a healing for our souls. I'm not promising that all the pain is going to magically go away. I'm not promising it'll be easy, but there is a peace, a healing, and a wholeness that can only be found in forgiveness. Bitterness, it's not going to get you there. Revenge, not going to get you there. Demanding repayment is not the way to peace. Here's our bottom line for this morning. Forgiveness is the pathway to peace. Forgiveness is the only pathway to peace after you have been wronged. We've tried all those other routes, right? Bitterness didn't get us there. Resentment didn't help. Holding on to that debt. Demanding repayment, it never led us to peace. Only to more pain and anger and heartache. We all want the product of forgiveness. We all want that peace in our relationships. And forgiveness, that's how we actually get there. Going back to our directions, we have to get the order right to end up at the destination, right? If we ever want to arrive at a place of peace, of wholeness, of healing again in our lives, forgiveness is the way that we get there. There are no shortcuts. There are no alternate routes that actually work out. Forgiveness is the pathway to peace. as we close this morning, if you're really struggling to forgive someone, I want to invite you to try an exercise this week that I hope will help you in forgiving those who have wronged you. There should be these 3x5 cards on your chairs. This is what these are for. As we've talked about directions this morning, I'm hoping this exercise might help you figure out where you are and help you recalculate where you need to go from here. Here's what I would love for you to do with these sometime today. Take one of those 3x5 cards and write down the wrong that they did to you, the wrong that you are trying to forgive. Now, some of you might need more than just the one, right? Some of you might need a whole stack of 3x5 cards. Because we know that that's the case in many of our relationships, but because we're not an office supply store, we only give you one. But here's what you do. You write the offense, the wrong that you're trying to forgive, on the 1 3x5 card. And then you declare your forgiveness and cover that card with the blank 3x5 card. And let that blank card represent the blank slate that you are giving to yourself and to this person in forgiving them. One by one, give those offenses over to God and declare that the blood of Jesus is greater than your hurt, it's greater than your pain, and it actually gives you the power to forgive as you have been forgiven. Now, you might think, I thought 1 Corinthians 13 said that love keeps no records of wrong. Aren't you telling me to basically create a record of wrongs? I hear you. But this is not a list of wrongs that you keep. This is you writing out these offenses so that you can cancel the debt for what they've done. This is not a list you hold on to. In fact, I'd very much encourage you to burn it, to get rid of it when you're done with it. But it's something that as you declare your forgiveness over each one of those offenses, you can actually find your way towards peace, towards wholeness, towards forgiveness. See, the person who hurt you doesn't need to validate your pain or even ask for forgiveness, although I pray that that happens. You just need to verbalize that pain, bring it into the light, and in that process, find healing, find wholeness through releasing that offense. This is not an exercise that's going to be easy. For some of you, it may resurface some pain that you've been working really, really hard to bury. And maybe you didn't even realize that that's what you were trying to do. Maybe you've gone to some other things to try and bury that pain. And you thought those things were just fun and they would finally give you some kind of peace in your life. They've only led to more and more pain. And so I'm not saying this will be easy, but if you do work through it, I think you might find a healing and a peace for your soul that you have been longing for. It's not going to magically fix everything. It's not going to make all the pain go away. It's not going to make forgiveness easy. But I think it is a way to help us find our way towards peace. This is one way that we can make verse 15 a reality in our lives. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So I trust that as you release these pains to God, the peace of God will rule in your heart in maybe a way you have never experienced in your life. Because forgiveness is the pathway to peace. It's the only way that we can get there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's clear. Thank you that it's true. Thank you that it meets us right where we're at. Father, I'm sure that in this room there are represented all kinds of pains, all kinds of wrongs against us that would take a long time just to name, let alone to walk through and deal with. Father, I'm sure there are pains in this room that we'd have a hard time even talking about, hard time even naming. Father, thank you for providing a way through that pain, for providing a way to actually find peace, finding a way to actually get us towards wholeness and goodness again. And that way is essentially doing exactly what Jesus did and forgiving as we have been forgiven. Thank you for not calling us to something that you're not willing to do yourself, that you've gone before us and you've forgiven us of a whole mountain of debt against you. And now we get to turn around and be a part of extending that forgiveness to others.
Father, thank you so much for Jesus and for the peace that we have found in him. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.